Talking today with the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, the Honorable Frank Lucas from the 3rd District of Western Oklahoma. Congressman, let's talk a little bit about where we stand on this 2013 Farm Bill debate right now. I know that you've had some discussions publicized, of course, in Politico this last week, that you had a talk and a conversation with Mr. Cantor in regards to timing. Are you feeling like you can pull off this May 15th date that was publicized?
May 15th ago. We've not issued the official markup notice yet, Ron, but both the ranking member Peterson and myself are discussing this in public. I think we have an understanding. Leadership's been alerted. May 15, I believe that's a Wednesday, we will mark up the 2013 Farm Bill in the House Agriculture Committee. We'll begin with a draft that essentially is the 2012 document. There have been some adjustments in some points simply because the various entities like OMB and CBO have rescored some of our expenditures, our savings, and we've had to make adjustments to reflect that. But we're going to have choice. We're going to save money. We're going to do it in a bipartisan way. We're going to have a safety net for all crops in all regions, and we're going to make sure our fellow citizens who need help have something to eat.
Now, on that last point, of course, Republican leadership, it seems like, was indicating to you, again from Politico, that they want some deeper cuts in nutrition. Are you going to be able to accommodate them?
Well, we were focused last summer, and we'll continue to be focused on things like categorical eligibility, ending the practice that a number of states have used, a loophole in the 1996 welfare reform law, to basically say if you receive this or that or several different several different versions of welfare assistance, then you automatically qualify for food stamps. We'll say in this farm bill that you have to demonstrate your income and your asset level, and if you qualify, we help you. We will make states that have used another loophole dealing with something called LIHEAP, where they provide assistance to people in primarily the Northeast in buying the fuel to heat their homes. And in some cases, for a dollar's worth of assistance from the state every month, you get a full month's worth of food stamps without question. We're going to make the states put more skin in that game. I would estimate, Ron, that instead of the approximately $16.5 billion in savings last time, when all the scores are in, our reforms in the nutrition title will save probably $20 billion. That's a lot of money. Now, a number of my colleagues in leadership and outside of leadership are very concerned about the work requirements to access the nutrition programs, the food stamps. Once again, in the 96 Welfare Reform Act, the states were given a lot of leeway, and virtually every state in the country has waived that. We're going to take a look at that. I don't know that that issue will be in the initial draft of the bill, but I suspect whether it's in committee or on the floor of the United States House, some of my colleagues will offer amendments, and we'll discuss it, and we'll vote on it, and we'll work the will of the bodies.
At this point, you know, as you have you know, conversations with Mr. Peterson, how much heartburn is this causing him?
Colin understands that we have to achieve substantial savings. Last year, the markup was $35 billion. I would estimate, when all the scores are in, that the savings probably in the draft that we'll take up on May 15 will be closer to $38 billion instead of $35 from last year. So those are substantial savings. Colin knows that we have to work through these issues. He also understands it's a comprehensive bill. So it's nutrition, it's the commodity title, it's conservation. It's all those things together, and we've got to save everywhere. So I can't say with absolute certainty what all my colleagues will do, but I think the majority are going to understand, just as they did last summer, everybody's got to be a part of this reform effort, both in the production of food and in the consumption of food.
Now, if you come up with $20 billion worth of savings in the nutrition part of the bill, what other savings are you anticipating from particularly conservation and commodity title? You know, what's going to be your overall savings number you're shooting for?
CRP still will come down. We'll see what the exact number of acres is. That'll be a substantial portion of conservation savings. We'll have some consolidation and refinement of existing programs over there. In the commodity title, again, as in last year's draft, the direct payment program goes away. So that together, all of those things, and some of the money we plowed back into crop insurance and a few other areas, I still think the net savings number, the bottom line will be in the $38 billion range. And I would note for the record, Ron, if every other committee in the United States House went through and reformed every area of their jurisdiction and achieved the level of savings that we proposed both last year and now even to a greater degree in this year's Farm Bill, the federal budget would be a whole lot closer to getting back to where it should be in balance.
One thing before we talk a little bit specifically about commodity title, crop insurance is kind of out there. It really isn't necessarily inside the Farm Bill. You've got some monies that you may be allocating toward it, but how much pressure are you going to feel to see some savings come out of the crop insurance program itself, especially with this $16, $17 billion worth of indemnities being paid for 2012?
Well, the big payments because of the drought, not only in the Midwest and all across the country, have brought the attention of a lot of people here in D.C. I call the bean counters, the folks who focus on those kind of issues, perhaps that weren't there before. If you look at the way farm policy's gone in the last decade, like the direct payment going away, like the number of acres in CRP coming down authorized, there are not many big pools of cash left, and we put a lot of money into the incentive programs to make federal crop insurance work, both enabling the companies to provide the product and to be encouraging producers to participate, subsidies that enable them to participate. I would say, not in committee, but on the floor of the House, this will be an area where we will come under assault. I believe the Ag Committee will be able to explain and justify everything that will be in the draft of the Farm Bill when it leaves the committee and goes to the floor, but it's the floor is where crop insurance will come under assault. It won't be assaulted in the Ag Committee itself because the membership understand how the program works and why it's important. And literally, it is becoming, in effect, the safety net of the Farm Bill as these other programs change so dramatically.
At this point, how much trouble do you expect on the floor?
It depends on how we're treated when we go to the floor. There are a number of ways that bills are considered in the United States House. For everything from a closed rule where bills are not subject to amendments, that won't be the case this time, to an absolutely open rule, the way many appropriation bills are handled, where every member can offer any amendment that they want to offer. I would hope, considering the complexity and the diversity of the subject matter within the Farm Bill, when we get to the floor, that we'll have some kind of a modified rule so that there will be a specific number of amendments, 10, 20, 30, 40, whatever, and that there will be a pre-filing requirement, which the Rules Committee can do, which is, say, one day or 2 days in advance of consideration on the floor, if you want to offer an amendment, you have to file it with the clerk of the House so it'll be available, so that we on the committee can look at what people are trying to do and make sure they understand what they're trying to do and be able to respond on the floor. So that's what I'm hoping for, but that's probably putting the cart a little ahead of the horse. May 15, in an open process, as we did last year, and that means every member can offer whatever amendments that he or she cares to offer, we'll mark up this Farm Bill, and we'll debate all these amendments, and we'll debate the base bill, and we'll take public recorded votes on these amendments, and ultimately leading to final passage. That's how you achieve consensus. And remember, a year ago approximately, after a markup that started at 10 o'clock one morning and ran till 1:30 the following morning, we passed that version of the bill out 35-11, a majority of both Democrats and Republicans, something that hasn't happened frequently in recent times in the United States House, and that is a consensus bill that a majority of everybody could support was achieved. I would like to think that we will do that again on May 15, and that will strengthen our hand as we go to the floor. And don't forget, there have been a few changes in personality over on the Senate side, so when they do their markup, I'm hoping they'll provide a vehicle so that ultimately when we get to conference, we'll have a farm bill that allows all regions and all commodity groups to participate. Yes, that means giving people some choices that they can make that will provide that safety net to make sure we raise our food and fiber that we need in this country. And yes, there'll still be a safety net there for our fellow citizens who are on tough times too.
Seems like we've got several agricultural groups that were very very much against the target prices being included last year. They're much more amenable here in 2013.
There are a number of groups out there, Ron, who perhaps thought in recent history that because of other federal programs, because where they were from, weather and soil-wise, because of the crops that they had the ability to raise, that perhaps they were immune. But the drought hurt everybody this last year. It made an impression in the Southwest and in the Midwest. It hurt everybody. I think that helped make a difference. And in particular commodity groups, say, for instance, corn, even though we now have 20-some million acres in CRP, that's a dramatic reduction compared to the amount of land that was available in past years to farm. Last year, we planted the most corn since 1937. This year, for instance, if weather would improve, indications are we might plant the most corn since 1936. I think a number of the commodity groups have come to realize if the weather changes in a fast and dramatic way, as it can, and suddenly we have one or two record years, that suddenly the dynamics change, and they too perhaps, at least the folks who raise those crops understand, they too want to have some kind of a safety net for not just the good times, but the bad times. And the bad times can come with a vengeance, as any farmer or rancher knows.
One other question in regards to the commodity title, you're going to be tweaking the percentages a little bit and leaving basically the guts of what you proposed last year pretty well intact, and that's how you'll come up and save the adequate the right amount of money, I guess.
I think that's probably the right way to describe it. We'll take the principles that were agreed to by a majority of the committee last time and build off of those. We have to achieve more savings, partially because with the president's demand that we reduce spending by $38 billion, that means $3 billion more. With the way CBO has addressed the baseline, and for our listeners' benefits, that's how you are supposed to calculate the money that will be available in future years for a program. They've turned down what they project will be available to us, so we've got to increase those savings. You might see some more CRP come out. You most assuredly will see more reforms in the nutrition title. You'll see some adjustments in the commodity title. We'll do what we have to do, but maintaining the basic framework of what a majority of the Ag Committee agreed to a year ago.
Regarding Speaker Boehner, are you feeling like he's going to be on your side this time and in trying to make sure this thing does make it and has floor debate?
I think, John, Mr. Speaker, I should say, all of his years on the Ag Committee before he went into senior leadership understands that one extension of the existing Farm Bill is all we can get done. We just need to do our work, and I believe he will help facilitate that. I know there are other members of leadership who are nervous about the ability to get a sufficient vote to pass anything by a majority vote, but I would simply say, look at the history of all the farm bills in recent history, other than perhaps the 96 farm bill, which was passed, Pat Roberts' bill that was passed as a part of budget reconciliation, so it wasn't subject to amendment, it wasn't subject to alteration, it was a part of a giant package slammed through. All other farm bills have been passed by a consensus of the majority. And that is, not every Republican or every Democrat's ever voted for them, but a majority of both have voted for them, because they understand how important it is. We have enough food and fiber. That majority of both bodies is what will pass it again this time. And, oh, by the way, you hear much discussion about the so-called Hastert rule. Anything that leaves the House should be passed by a majority of the majority. The Farm Bill will get a majority of the majority. I will just have a substantial number of votes from the minority, too.
Chairman of the House Agriculture Committee, Oklahoma Congressman Frank Lucas. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.